The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, Bills Mafia? I'm Fernando Shimoji. That's your leading the chart at Buffalo Rumblings. And today I have the pleasure of having with me Kayla. Kayla, thank you so much for joining me today and being able to talk some Bills in this Friday noon. Thank you so much. Welcome, Kayla.
Glad to be here. Excited to talk about the Bills and all that's coming up.
Awesome. Awesome. So we have some plenty of Bills news today. Good news from Coach McDermott. Also, it seems that, like, the Bills are again ready for the playoffs, right? After a quick scare, we can put it this, right? Mid-season scare after difficult times, but fortunately, everything seems on the right path again. And Kayla, I want to start hearing from you about your confidence level in this Bills team this season, because I've been talking about it with other guests in the show about how this season has been totally different, in the sense of we've been used to watching the Bills playing their best football early on the seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Playing, starting on fire and playing really great football early. But then with injuries and even off-field stuff happening, the Bills hardly ever could get into the playoffs playing their best football or in the best moment of their season. And this year it seems different. It seems like they had injuries in the beginning of the season, but now we start to get some of those important players back. And it's not like we haven't been able also to replace them, or at least to ease that impact that they were being missed all along this season, right? So how confident are you in this Bills team so far and going forward with the playoffs just ahead?
I think with how Douglas has been playing and with how Dotson has kind of really stepped up in his role, I think my biggest concern about making any kind of run in the playoffs was the defense, because I know the offense was struggling, but I think even though the passing game hasn't been, like, great, as good as it can be recently, I still think the fact that the defense is starting to play better, they're starting to play more together, you're starting to see more of the same as all the beginning of the season. They're overcoming the injuries. And I think that was my biggest concern going into the playoffs, or if we were to make the playoff run, was the defense. And I think if they can be, like, a middle-of-the-pack defense, they can be opportunistic like they have been. And the offense, the passing game gets more consistent, which I think it will. I feel pretty good that they can compete with anybody in the AFC. So
yeah, I definitely agree. When we lost those important players like Daquan Jones and Matt Milano, Ultra Davis White, and especially after being able to add Douglas, add Joseph to the fold, and I felt like, okay, maybe we can't have that top five defense anymore, but there is no reason to not expect them to still be a good defense, because we had so much investment in this side of the ball all along the years during those McDermott years. So I never bought that talk about, oh, they are doing a great job without resources. Like, no, they have enough. They have, they still have enough to be decent, to be opportunistic. And I feel like when we were struggling during this season, our defense was really struggling to get out of the field and to create turnovers, right? And it finally changed with recently in the last few games. And we could see also with Brady taking over from Dorsey, we could see the offense starting to be more consistent and the team being able to play better and get back on the win column. So, and now, Kayla, we just got from Sean McDermott some great news about Daquan Jones being available again, for everybody who hasn't been aware. So far in today's press conference, Sean McDermott just said that Daquan Jones will be on the field against the Patriots next weekend, right? And Micah Hyde as well. So the players are getting back. We are getting healthier again. And it's impressive because Daquan Jones, a torn pectoral, I wasn't really confident that he could be back. I remember a few years ago, do you remember in Josh Allen's first playoff start, we faced the Texans and
TJ Watt
was coming back from torn pectoral. And
he kind of went off too. So
Yeah. So Daquan coming back is big. It's huge, especially with Jordan Phillips out. How happy are you of getting the big Daquan Jones back in the defensive line?
I'm stoked. I mean, I think I love Matt Milano. He's obviously one of the best linebackers in the game. Obviously, I love him.
Yeah.
But I think getting Daquan back is he was the most impactful loss. You could feel his loss more than he felt Milano's loss because everything starts with the D-line, and we couldn't stop the run. We weren't really winning in the trenches like we were when Daquan was there. So I think getting Daquan back, even if it's not at the complete level we had him at, is so – like as a pass rusher and in the run game, like it's just you can't replace that. We had like I think Settle and Phillips and Puna had a good game Saturday, but also with Lindell Joseph, I think they've done well enough in mitigating his loss. But I think getting him back is it's going to make everything better on the interior and the pass rush, and it's going to I think it's massive. Even if he's not fully back, I think. Mm-hmm. Getting him at 70-80%, like I said this yesterday, that's still better than anything that we have right now. So I think it's a massive, like it cannot be overstated how huge getting him back is. So
yeah, no doubt.
It's going to make things easier for linebackers too. I think it's going to help. It's going to help Bernard, and it's going to help Dawson whenever Poyer comes down. So I think, it's huge.
Yeah, awesome. Especially considering, like, he's in a position that he can rotate a lot. So it's not like he got to be playing all the snaps. He can rotate in and out. He can stay fresh. And even thinking about a pectoral injury, I want to believe he's still in great shape. And he could still work out kind of regularly about the leg work and the strength on his legs. And so... I feel like he obviously we need to be careful, right? And we don't want him really forcing it way too much and re-injuring his pectoral. But I feel like he can do the dirty job inside and help Ed Oliver, who's been awesome recently, to continue to dominate and to take over. And just like you said, keep. Bernard free, keep Dodson free. It's huge for these Bills schemes, and I'm really happy with those news on Daquan Jones. Now on Micah Hyde, I'm really worried about Micah Hyde. How as we were talking in off here, right, Kayla? And I'm a former athlete. You were a former athlete as well, and we know we lived. Being injured and coming back, and how does it feel, and how does it impact us as athletes playing, right? And with Micah Hyde, I'm really worried about his situation with those stingers, his neck injury coming from a season ago. And according to McDermott, he's also will be available and playing on Sunday. How are you feeling about Micah Hyde in his prospects going forward. That's a guy who's in the last year of his contract, right? We don't know how much longer we will see Micah Hyde as a Bill, and I even question how much longer we will see him as a professional with those dangerous neck injuries.
I feel like, I definitely think this is the last we'll see of Micah, at least for the Bills. I think he'll retire after this year. I think he's had, what, 4 stingers to this point, and he's coming off major neck surgery. I think he's done after this season, and I think it's better for him. And as much as I hate to say it, I think it's better for the Bills too, because I think he's not been his normal all-pro self this season at all. I think he's been a liability at times, but I also think for him, he has a family. He has people he has to take care of. If he's going to risk his livelihood and his well-being to play a sport, but he's not 100%. I think he probably knows it's his last season, and that's why because otherwise he probably wouldn't be coming back at all to play this year. So I think for him and for the Bills, it's probably best for him to hang up the cleats. And I hope they keep him around, because I think he's a really big part of the organization and a vocal leader. And it's hard to think about the Bills without Micah, but I think it's time to cut the cord for the betterment of him and the Bills, as much as it hurts to say. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a guy who's been under McDermott since McDermott took over, right? And he knows that secondary. He knows what's asked about all those players on every single snap, on every single position. He has a background as a cornerback also. He played nickel for the Packers. And if he wants to become part of the coaching staff, I think he would be the kind of guy who would be a nice coach to help the secondary, right? Because
I saw a picture of him on Saturday night whenever McDermott was talking to the defense. I think it was before that last drive the Chargers had. He was right in the middle of their huddle, and he looked like he was contributing to whatever McDermott was saying. And he's even last year, I feel like he was in the middle of everything, despite obviously not playing at all. But after week 2, whatever it was, I think I could definitely see him being a really great coach and whatever way they would bring him back. I would love to see that, because I think he's such a huge part of the culture and the team, and he can contribute even off the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And with neck injuries, you never want to really risk it, right? I remember Aaron Williams also having his career cut short, being careful with those neck injuries, and now Micah Hyde. It's really, really sad, right, to see a guy being in this situation. And I will tell you one thing. I've been impressed by the way he's been able to obviously, just like you said, he hasn't been the same all-pro Micah Hyde we've been used to see making plays and being a ball hawk all around. But one thing I can guarantee, this guy never shied away from tackling and tackling hard despite the next surgery last season, right? It was impressive for me, because when you come back from an injury like that and you need to tackle, it's normal to kind of take it easier, softer, or try to avoid the contact, try to avoid what injured you in the first place. And no, this guy has been playing 100% all the time and all gas, no breaks, tackling hard. So,
he got his initial injury from going back and trying to bring the pile down whenever Volson tried to knock him out of it. So it was literally him being aggressive and trying to make a tackle even when the play was over. So
that's a hurdle that a lot of athletes can't overcome. In it's natural, right? People talk all the time about Trent Edwards post concussion, right? About how he changed his mentality, and sometimes it's natural. It's you're being a human being, right? And avoiding. Nobody punches a knife, you're going to get hurt. So with those guys and those injuries, it's really difficult. And he's been through it all year, or for 2 years now. And I'm a little bit worried about those last few games for Micah Hyde, if he's really calling it a career after season because of this. it's really difficult. It seems like every snap something bad can happen, and I hope he can get back on the field, play well, and never deal with it anymore. But hopefully everything goes all right. And the other guy that we unfortunately didn't have a lot of great news is Matt Milano, obviously, right? McDermott was asked about if the linebacker could be back for the playoffs, and he doesn't believe it's possible. I think it's difficult. His injury looked really bad. And again, just what I talked about, Daquan Jones, it's totally the opposite with Matt Milano, right? A leg injury, you can't do your conditioning, you can't keep practicing. So even if he's cleared by the doctors, like, to, oh, you can get back on the field, you can run again, but he missed so much time, the conditioning, everything, it's not the same, right? So it's unfortunate, but I believe for Matt Milano, next season is the target, right?
Yeah, which I think I'm more okay with that now than I was after, like, really right after the injury, and a couple of weeks after that. I think, I love Milano, and him being on the field significantly raises the floor and the ceiling of the defense. But I think with Daquan coming back, they can definitely manage his absence a lot better than they did before Daquan. But even with Daquan coming back, having Dotson playing the way he is, with the junior getting better, I think, or the D-line getting better, I definitely, like, I'm excited to see Matt again. And I think I think his return would have been a lot more like 40-50% if he was going to be able to play, just with the nature of his injury. Like he said, his leg injury. So him getting back would not have been as significant. Like him coming back this year would not have been as, I don't think it would have been as impactful as some would have hoped it would have been if he had come back. So, because that's a leg injury. And it was a pretty complicated injury. I think that Bill said it was a tibial plateau fracture, that's probably a tough injury to come back from in a short period of time. He probably wouldn't have been what we remembered him as. So it might be better for the team if Dawson's out there. I think that's just my opinion, but I think it's like, I would love for him to be back. I would love for him to be back 100%. But that just, I don't think that was ever in the cards this year. I wanted to believe it, but I was never a believer in that. So I hate that we constantly get the confirmation, because it breaks my heart a little bit. But still, I'm at peace with it as much as I hate it. So.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Absolutely. Bills Mafia, hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel. This episode will be also available via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the podcast aggregators. And thank you so much for joining. Send your questions on the chat here. We can interact with you here. Thank you so much. Some Bills Mafia from Brazil out there, Kayla. They people here are excited about the news of NFL coming to Brazil next year, you know. And some people are like, oh, the Bills are going to play at Timão's Arena. Timão is a big Brazilian club here, Corinthians. All right, they have a big fan base, and they still have hope the Bills are coming to Brazil. But I don't have big hopes for that. And I honestly hope it doesn't happen, because after those trips to Toronto and now to London, I'm sick of the Bills playing outside the U.S. You know, so.
I think the Bills are too. So.
yeah, I believe so. So I don't know. I'd rather have the Bills playing in Orchard Park, and that's it. So about Milano, and I've been pretty critical of McDermott for a lot of stuff, right? But we need to give props to him for some for great stuff he does also. And the way he could fix the defense, the way he could manage the defense to because Milano, let's be honest, when he got hurt, I had him as the third best player on the team after Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. For me, Matt Milano was the best player on the team, right? And the Bills lost that huge centerpiece of the defense, and the way McDermott has been able to get the best out of Dodson, not putting him on bad situations anymore, in a way he can play the run aggressively and hardly ever gets posed in coverage. In the way he's being able to move Poyer to a dime linebacker spot in clear passing downs and even not just cover for Milano, but bring Poyer back, because Poyer wasn't having a great year also, just like Hyde, right? It seems like he's also, unfortunately, getting older. It happens to everybody, right? It happened to Eddie Reed, it happened to Troy Polamalu, it still happened to Hyde and to Poyer too. But this new role as a dime linebacker, it kind of gave him an extra, right? And he could make some plays again in this situation and help the team with communication. And obviously a guy I've never tired, Kayla, of talking about how I told people how Bernard would be great at middle linebacker, right? So I sorry, but I won't get tired of remembering people about that. So Bernard also has been awesome and has been able to ease down that situation with Milano out. So props to Coach McDermott, and our defense looking good, even with all those situations, all those difficulties. And another guy I've been high this season, or at least since preseason, is Ken Lewis, and he's starting to pop more and more and get increased playing time, and he's doing a great job playing safety, and I feel like he's already playing better than even Taylor Rapp, who's been solid, right? And I feel like if not for that JJ catch last season, people would recognize that Ken Lewis did a decent job last season too, and this year he seems just like a guy playing at full speed all the time, tackling hard, running hard, you know, and I'm really confident in I love to see how Ken Lewis has developed and became a guy who can play at the safety position, and we can feel good enough there with him out there. How are you feeling about this secondary, even without those we were without Hyde, or even with the situation of Hyde and Poyer not being at their best selves anymore, and Notre Davis White, Douglas obviously a great addition. How confident are you in this secondary going forward and being able to hold down during the playoffs? That's the goal, right? We know we can be really good during regular season, but the playoffs is what really matters for us right now. And even Kaiir Elam is back from injured reserve. So what are your expectations for this secondary going forward?
I think everything, when the secondary isn't playing their best this season in particular, it's when the D-line has been able to get pressure and has been able to let them get their coverage set and make plays. And I think you've seen that a lot in the recent weeks. The D-line's been getting pressure, and they've been wreaking havoc outside of the Chargers game. We won't talk about that. But, you know, I think the D-line is, when they're playing well and the coverage is able to set, the secondary has been really, really solid. And Benford has really stepped up this year, and him being mostly healthy as opposed to last year, I think he's really been a big part of all the secondaries. He's like advanced metrics have him as like one of the best corners in the league, like a top 20, 15 corner. And obviously with Rasul, how good he's been playing. I'm a Florida fan, so I'm a little biased towards Kaiir Elam, but I think he's a huge depth piece, and I think if he's asked to play, I think he's going to perform really well. So I'm excited about Kaiir being back. And Cam Lewis, I think people with the Jefferson catch, people don't also acknowledge he was there to make the play. He just didn't do the right thing. He tried to intercept it instead of batting it away. So he was there to make the play. He was on one of the best receivers in the league there to make the play. the other guys made a better play. So I think Cam has been playing really well. I would like to see more of him and less of Rapp. I think Rapp's fine, but he's not great. He's not as good in coverage, I think, as Cam is. But I would love to see more of Cam. And yeah, with Poyer, I think Poyer, with his age, I think bringing him down as a non-linebacker has made him age maybe a little less than Micah. And it's allowed him to make his plays and be physical and be a great tackler and make the plays and covers that he has to make. So I feel pretty good about the secondary, better than I did after Trey and Alana went down. Because I think coverage recently has been pretty sound and been really good. So, yeah, I feel really good. I feel better. I think there's questions in the offseason that are going to have to be answered, especially with Trey and with Poyer and Micah. But in terms of this season, I feel really good about the secondary. So,
awesome. And to close down this medical report that we're having today, a guy who's been out there, but he's been out there, but we haven't noticed it so much is Von Miller, right? Unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
He's trying to get back, and he was playing with that brace on his knee. He isn't wearing that brace anymore. We know that's a difficult injury to get back on track on at full speed, especially because people concentrate just when you get back from for example a knee injury. People concentrate just on the knee and they think like, oh, the knee is fine. It's already been a long time and the knee is recovered. But what people don't pay attention is when an athlete, especially an old athlete like Von is, no matter how much of a beast he is, athletically speaking, but when a guy gets back from an injury like that, it's not about the knee, but it's about everything else, because you start to get feel pain a lot of when you get back on the field, you start to try to balance in another way or put more weight on the other leg and on the other knee. That's why a lot of people even injure the other knee after having a ligament injury on one knee. And also they start to have a lot of muscular problems, right? Because you are trying to take care of that injured knee, trying to get back, to get the confidence back. And you start to feel and to have a lot of other injuries, small injuries, muscular injuries, and it slows you down and you are always in pain. So it's not always about the biggest problem, the surgery that you had. And with Von, I want to believe that's something that has slowed him down all season. But his snaps are increasing. He's seeing more playing time. We haven't seen him taking over yet. We haven't seen great plays from him yet. Are you still confident we still can have at least a little bit of that great Von Miller by playoff time and the guy who was brought in as the closer, as they call? Do you still believe we can have the closer ready for the playoffs to make some plays when it matters the most?
I want to say yes. I think he's better than he was a few weeks ago. Like, I think he's getting pressure at a decently higher rate, but he's not finishing. And I think you can kind of see plays where he kind of lets up, because I think I don't know if he just doesn't trust his knee or whatever. And like you said, knee injuries are really finicky. I've had so many. Our career ended on a knee injury. So I know what that's like. And not to say I know what Von Miller's going through, but it's a lot of your hamstring and your quad and all the things that get weaker when you have atrophy and all that after surgery. So I think it's the same conversation we had with Trey White last year. I think people were ready to write Trey off, and because he wasn't as good as he had been in the past. And I think sometimes he was a liability. And as a cornerback too, with a lot of starting and stopping, and that's a lot harder than the defensive end is. But I think Vaughn's, what, 34? He's 34 now, it's the second ACL tear. I think he has a lot more physical things to overcome, and I'm not sure that's going to happen this year. I'm not 100% confident we get him back in that closer, in that typical Von Miller closer role that we came to expect, even with this 10 games he played healthy for the Bills last year. I'm not confident in it. I could see a road. I could see it happening if he gets, because I think he took the brace off after the bye, I think. And I think he's played a little better without the brace than he did with the brace on. Mm-hmm. But he just has, like, he's just not finishing the way that he did before it, before his injury. And I haven't seen a change in that at all. And until I see that, I'm not going to feel confident in him getting to that point, at least this year. I think he could next year. I think with another year of getting that stronger and getting more confidence back in that leg, kind of like with Trey, I think I could see us getting it back at like 60-70% if he's still on the team, barring off field issues aside. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think he still has a way to go in terms of being confident and being able to finish, so he can be in that closer, get in the sacks and all that we remember him as.
Yeah, no doubt. And when we were talking about the time to get back from the injury and all that comes along, the other problems that comes along with that, I just remembered about McDermott telling and talking today about Daquan Jones and his willingness to come back earlier than what was expected, and how a lot of people, they don't want to do that, right? For several reasons. A player can, I'm not feeling good, I don't want to look bad, I don't feel confident, I'm afraid I will get injured again. There are a lot of reasons to avoid getting back earlier than expected, right? And it's happening with Daquan now, and with Vaughn, it kind of happened in the same way, at least compared to Tre'Davious White. Obviously, each guy is an individual, different people, different bodies, different recovery times. But as a Chicago Bulls fan, for example, I remember Derrick Rose when he got his first surgery and he was cleared to play, and there was a lot of pressure on him to get back on the field and to start playing. And he was like, sorry, I don't feel ready. I don't feel good. I don't feel like myself. And he was practicing. He was shooting the ball before the games, right? People were anxious to see him, but he took a full year to get back on the court. And Vaughn was out there wearing a brace, trying since... I really believe he wanted to be out there since week one. And it was on Brandon Bean to, like, hey, take it easy. Stay on the injury reserve for to start the year, 4 weeks out, and then we'll see. But he really wanted to contribute, really wanted to get back on the field as quick as possible. And most of the time, that's what we've seen from Von Miller, is why people don't want to get back on the field, because the talk is, oh, we got to get rid of Von Miller. We got to get rid of that contract, right? So players don't want to look bad on the field. And Von Miller maybe is paying the price of trying to get back as quick as possible, right? And hopefully it doesn't happen with Daquan Jones as well, but it's a possibility. And the guys are trying to help the team, trying to impact, trying to win games for the Bills. And I think the mentality is something good for the team. It shows how this team really want to play for each other, want to be there for each other, you know, and that's a huge part why those Bills have been able to rebound and get back on track. And that's the topic that we're going to tackle going forward. The Bills are back on track. The Bills are getting healthier in the right time. But there's still some job to be done, right? We still have to play the Patriots. And when we think the Patriots are it's an easy win, we've seen them beating, winning games that weren't expected. And we already lost a game to them this year, right? So it's a divisional matchup. We never can take it for granted. So what are your expectations for this Patriots game? And then if all goes well as expected, the battle against Miami in week 18, maybe for the division. The Bills have some playoff scenarios developing, the possibility even for seed 2 is still possible. It's all about the Dolphins losing to the Ravens one game, right? How are you feeling about all those situations, all those scenarios? Is there obviously a situation that you really prefer? Is there a situation that you think could mean the end for the Bills you are too afraid about? How are you feeling about all of that, Caleb?
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
At least for, I feel decent about winning the division. I do think the Ravens take care of the Dolphins next week. And so that opens up week 18. I would love a scenario where the Bills win, Kansas City wins, and Seattle wins. And so we have, we're in the playoffs on week 18. We know that. And I think that allows the team to play looser week 18. So it's kind of like a less, there's pressure, but there's not near as much pressure as, oh, we have to win this to get in. It's a, oh, if we win this, we win this division, but we're still in the playoffs. And I think that's my ideal situation. I would love for that to play out that way. But there's also a situation we get to literally mean nothing, because I think never mind. It'll mean something, because Miami could still be playing for the one seed if they were to win next week. Because I know there's a scenario if the 49ers would have won, that could have literally been for nothing, because Miami would have clutched the one seed next week. But that's irrelevant now. But I feel pretty good about the Bills, even if they can't win the division. The Dolphins beat the Ravens on Sunday. I still feel pretty good that they can win out and make the playoffs. I think there's I feel confident about making the playoffs. There's some matchups in the playoffs that would concern me, but in terms of making the playoffs, I feel pretty good. And I feel pretty good about Sunday, especially with it being in Orchard Park, with the defense being healthier and playing better than it was when they let Mac Jones torch them back in November. I feel pretty good about at least the defense not letting the Patriots do whatever they want on them like they did. The offense, I'm a little worried about because of Fitz Belichick, and I think the defense gave Josh Allen issues last time they played, but still scored 25 on them. So if we can just replicate that and the defense puts the offense in better position than they did that game, I feel pretty good about Sunday, as long as it's not one of those fluky. It's one of the Belichick's last games, so he's gonna make us miserable one last time. I think they can take care of business. Just don't let Bailey Zappi beat you. That would hurt. I think everybody's probably more, maybe a little more than Mac Jones, because don't let Bailey Zappi beat you.
Yeah, that's true, and. About that offense, Kayla, what's going on? Because I have my take on this offense, you know, and I've been talking about it since the beginning of the season. I think what scared me about the Bills' offense continues to be the same thing, you know. There were two things. One of the things got better. It was Spencer Brown, right, and the offensive line. I think they aren't the best offensive line in the league, but they have been so much better than they were in the past that it's night and day, right? Especially with their mindset, their physicality, how they attack other defensive lines, how they impose themselves and can establish a running game. It's totally different from what we've seen from the Bills in the last few years. But the other thing was, and that was the reason I wanted DeAndre Hopkins so badly on this offense, was because after Diggs, I was telling it all the time. After Diggs, there isn't a guy that you really can trust 100%. You know, like, okay, Kincaid can become this guy, but he's a rookie, right? Oh, James Cook is starting to get better. Great season. the help from the offensive line, but still he has his off games, and he's a second year player. You it's not like you can trust 100%, you know, also not with his hands. Gabe Davis as well, and Khalil Shakir, second year player. I feel like the talent around this offense is unproven, you know, and I was really worried about if we lose Diggs for some time, we're in total trouble. And he was on the field. He's still on the field all every game, but we've seen him kind of injured, kind of with some issues, dealing with some issues recently, not being himself, that number one guy, bona fide number one wide receiver that can separate against anybody in the league, right? So I still worried about it. I feel like every single game you depend on somebody stepping up, and they've been able to do so recently. Last game was Gabe Davis. 2 games ago was James Cook. A few weeks ago, maybe Khalil Shakir, Kincaid. You always need somebody to step up, make some plays, and take the pressure out of Josh and Diggs. By playoff time, I have no doubt that teams will make somebody else beat them. They will try to take away Diggs from the games and make somebody else beat them. How confident are you on those guys being able to step up during the playoffs and being able to do that week after week in a run so the Bills can win it all? You need at least 3 or 4 great games from other guys to help Diggs and Josh to make that offense consistent enough, because we've seen the lack of consistency inside during some games, right? We've seen first quarters with 0 points and other stretches where this offense has struggled, where Josh has been asked to do way too much, and where Diggs maybe has been taken away or hasn't been himself. How confident are you the Bills have enough to go through those playoffs and win it all with those personnel?
I think the fact that it's been a different player kind of stepping up every week might end up being kind of a blessing in disguise, in a sense, because I think you don't know who it's going to be the next game. So it might make it harder to game plan because Gabe stepped up on Saturday, but I think Shakir also had 2 really huge catches. So even if it's not like on a consistent basis, it's somebody different who's stepping up every week. We didn't have that last year. Because I think we kind of ran into this last year. We didn't really, Diggs was getting doubled every game, and nobody could really be a difference maker. And the offensive struggles were a lot more noticeable, and it felt a lot harder than even this year has. And I think, even in the Kansas City game, in the passing game, Cook stepped up. So I think Kincaid and Knox both getting, because Kincaid's been not healthy the last 3 weeks, I think that's been hindering him more than people are acknowledging. So I think, because he was completely off the injury report this week, so I think he's closer to 100% than he has been. So they can get Kincaid going. I'd like to see Knox utilized more. So I think he's had a couple of big catches, especially in the he had that catch last weekend, and he had a catch against Kansas, had a few against Kansas City. I would like to see if they can get Knox and Kincaid more involved. I think they're both. They make things more difficult for defenses to prepare for and to defend. So, actually, I'm not confident right now in the passing game, but I feel confident in their ability to continue to have somebody step up every week, and they can get multiple guys stepping up at the same time over the next 2 weeks and end of the playoffs. I think that's just going to make the offense that much better. And I think the fact that they've shown that they can win in multiple ways. They showed they can beat you in the run game. They showed you they can beat you in flashy passing play. They're using running backs out of the backfield on real routes or whatever. I think they've shown that they can win in multiple ways. And if Diggs has an off day, I feel confident that somebody is going to step up, because that's happened in the last, since Diggs has kind of fallen off. I think it's been somebody different every week. And I think that's actually better than nobody stepping up, but it's also better because you don't know who is going to be the next week. And it could be Dalton on Sunday. It could be Knox on Sunday. It could be Shakir on Sunday. And I think that's going to make the offense better. It's going to make them harder to defend. And come playoffs, I think the big thing is if everybody can step up, it's just the offense would be unstoppable at that point. So just as long as somebody's stepping up, it's fine. And I'm comfortable and confident in it.
Yeah, it's on 17 to find who's stepping up on that single day, right? And that sometimes takes some drives to find the guy who's going to step up, and the Bills kind of stall a bit on the offense, and the defense got to hold down those opponents for a couple of drives until the Bills can figure out the offense. But just
I'm
like
sure Kansas City, I'm sure Kansas City would love for somebody to step up in their passing game. So it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of Kansas City, there is a scenario where the Dolphins obviously they don't lose a game to the Ravens, and they can win the division, and the Bills can only be the number six seed on this situation, right? And might need to play in Kansas City a playoff game yet again, right? After all those nightmare playoff games in Kansas City, I don't know about you, but I finally feel like confident on winning on one of those games, right? We've been able to win regular season games there, but in playoffs, it's been another story. Not this time. I feel like this time the Bills really can beat the Kansas City Chiefs there. Mm-hmm. I feel like they haven't been the same team. I feel like Mahomes finally, and again, another take that people usually don't agree with me, but I always told people, like, give me Josh over Mahomes any day of the week, because I really believe Josh has been asked to do more with less than Mahomes, right? And I feel like Mahomes finally is in a kind of Josh situation where he's being asked to do more with just Kelce as his digs, his number one target, and not much else, and he's struggling, he's having some trouble with that, right? And I really feel like that's the time that the Bills can do it. So even if the Bills need to go to Kansas City and play the Chiefs in the playoffs, in the wild card, I feel confident the Bills can do that. And I don't know about you, I would like to hear from you.
I mean the prospect of Mahomes and Arrowhead in January, it's probably just my conditioning and trauma from past years, but like it still scares me a little bit. But I think this team is almost unraveling, especially on offense. Like, you don't lose to the Raiders and Arrowhead if you're not unraveling. And I think normally at this time of the year, the Chiefs are starting to play their best football, and it seems like it's been the opposite this year. Or I don't think they've played their best football all year. Outside of on defense, they've been really solid, but offensively, I feel like they've gradually even gotten worse throughout as the year has gone on, and they're not getting they kind of feel like we did last year, maybe to even more in a more extreme extent, because they don't have anybody who's stepping up, and I think they're going in the wrong direction at the wrong time. So if we got them wild card weekend, it might be off of after they've won, they take a win or two in the next 2 weeks. I think they won't be playing their best ball. I think they'll still be dysfunctional, and if you're going to get them at any time, I think it's going to be that, because you don't want to get them like the divisional. Maybe they get a win and they start figuring things out. I think if they're still struggling 2 weeks in and we get them the long card weekend, that might be the best time to pull an upset, even though it's an upset just because of seeding. But I wouldn't even call it an upset, because I think the Bills are a better, more complete team than the Chiefs are at this point in time. So the past makes me concerned about it, but looking at it on paper and just from a vibes perspective, I would feel pretty good about the Bills' chances to go in Arrowhead and exercise some demons.
Yes, they are giving those Bills vibes from last few seasons, where they are entering the playoffs with little or no gas on the tank, you know? Like, how did they lose to the Raiders not completing a single pass since the end of the first quarter? It was crazy. Like, the Raiders could run the ball and beat them without completing passes. It's crazy. And so the Bills aren't that team anymore that you can just prepare for the passing game and play two safeties high and not care about the running game. They simply can't do that anymore against the Bills. And so I really feel confident these Bills can exercise those demons and win the Chiefs against the Chiefs in Kansas City. And if they can, then we really need to get a game against them in Buffalo, because they won't beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas anymore if they don't beat in this opportunity, right?
If we were able to get the 2 seed and they can knock out the Dolphins, and we get them in Orchard Park in the divisional round, that would be pretty. I would feel pretty confident in that case. So.
Yeah, it would be awesome for sure. Kayla, how about Josh Allen MVP shot? Right, that's the last topic of today's Leading the Charge. And people really don't want to consider this guy. I feel bad for Josh because I really believe he's put up some MVP seasons already and never won the award, right? He had a year better than, for example, Lamar Jackson's MVP year, but Aaron Rodgers was also awesome that year and got the award, right? And this year, again, people want to focus on his turnovers, but the guy leads the league in touchdowns, right? The guy really carries this team. We've seen the Bills struggling with and losing games during the season with the defense playing badly and little help on offense and Josh Allen elevating the team and scoring touchdowns and putting them on in the games. And even now leading, obviously he has help from the defense, but it's not a top-notch defense like the Ravens defense, right? Mm-hmm. He has help from some playmakers, yes, but it's not the most dependable group as we talked previously in the show. And even his top target hasn't been the same this year. So now he has a run game. But Josh is a big part of the run game. For example, against the Cowboys, all those runs from shotgun, people wanted under center. We run the ball from shotgun, and Josh is a threat. Every time they need to pay attention to him, keeping that ball and running himself. So that minimal second that makes people slow down and focus on him and check where is the ball. Cook had some eye step to gain some yards, and with good blocking, it was a game breaker for the Bills against the Cowboys. So Josh Allen has been the guy who's carried, in my opinion, the most of any team in the league. Purdy has had a great season, great stats and all, but we know that he isn't even the most important player on his team, on that offense, right? We know, we've seen him without Deebo Samuel, without McCaffrey for a small period, and how he looked without those important guys on the offense. And Lamar, love the guy. I love Lamar. I think he's a great quarterback, but he has, I don't know, 20 less touchdowns than Josh Allen. And he can lean on a great defense, a great run game, who's he's part of that run game as well, right? Even more than Josh, maybe. But I don't know. I can't believe how Josh isn't being touted more as an MVP candidate or even as an MVP front runner with the way this season has gone. How do you feel about this MVP race with 2 weeks left?
I think if the Bills went out and Josh Allen he kind of goes like that Super Saiyan mode that we've seen him do in January at times, I feel pretty good about his chances. If he goes off these last 2 weeks, the Bills win the division, they get the 2 seed. I feel like it would be his to lose, depending on how Lamar does against the Dolphins. If he has this amazing performance against the Dolphins on Sunday, I think it'll make it a little bit harder. But I feel still, if you're going to give it to a quarterback, I think you would need to give it to Josh Allen. Because I think if you give it to Lamar, it's like, oh, who's the best quarterback? Who's playing the best on one of the best teams, record-wise? And that would be Lamar. But statistically, he's only got like five less turnovers than Josh Allen. And Josh Allen is, I think it's 16 more touchdowns. So the touchdown, if you want to talk about turnovers, in terms of how many touches Josh Allen's getting, in terms of the volume of the offense that Josh Allen is, him only having five more turnovers than Lamar tells you enough about how significant and how important and valuable he is to the Bills. And the Ravens as a whole are a better team. But Lamar doesn't contribute to that in the same way that Josh Allen contributes to the Bills and how the Bills have turned around their season. If I could vote on MVP, I would probably vote McCaffrey just because I think he's unbelievable. But they're not going to give it to a running back. They're going to give it to a quarterback. So that's why the conversation is Lamar or Josh. And I don't see how you can watch the way Josh Allen's carried this team this season and his stats and not realize that he's the most valuable player for one of the seven best teams in the AFC. And he's leading. Like, he'll probably be an All-Pro this year. I don't think Lamar has the stats to be an All-Pro this year. So if Josh Allen's going to be an All-Pro, are you going to give the MVP to Lamar just because the Ravens have a better record? I think it'll be Lamar who gets it at the end just because it's the Ravens have a better record. But I think Josh Allen, I think he deserves it. And maybe voters will come around in the next 2 weeks if he just plays out of his mind. But with the Bills' record, I feel like it's going to make it hard for them to be like, oh, the Ravens are only have, they'll be what, 14-3. The Bills are 11-6. Mm-hmm. Lamar's the quarterback of that team. He's still a game changer. He still changes the game for the Ravens.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like it'll be a vibe. It'll be a vibe award more than a stats and eye test award. So.
Yeah, I really feel it's a flawed process right now, you know, because the last few games have they are way more important than the early games on the season, and I have a friend of mine here in Brazil, a 49ers fan, and he said recently about, oh, okay, Purdy lost to Lamar and now Lamar is the MVP, and next week Tua will beat Lamar, and then Tua will be the front runner. And in the last week, Josh will beat Tua, and then Josh will win the MVP. That's his bet, you know? And kind of makes sense the way the media and the guys who hold those votes are changing all the time, right? And in this line of thinking, we can't even write off Tua, because if Tua beats Lamar and beats Josh Allen in the next two games, they will be the media, everybody will be crazy on Tua and maybe even Tyreek Hill. If Tyreek Hill have two big games, right, and break the 2,000 yards, I don't know. So it's wide open right now. I think people are just getting carried away with the recency bias, you know, and taking the MVP after that. But
I know in college football, I don't know how familiar you are in college football in America, but yet like there's a Heisman Award. It's the best player in football, and kind of like the MVP, it's kind of become this: who is the best quarterback for one of the best teams? And that's kind of been what it's been for the last probably like 15, well, not 50, probably longer than 15, as long as I've been watching college football, it's what it's been, with a few exceptions. But like this year, none of the best, like the four best teams really had like this dominant quarterback that's like that prototypical Heisman. And it was Jaden Daniels of LSU who ended up winning it, because he wasn't really getting hyped until the end of the season. He goes, oh, he's playing unbelievable. He's the reason why LSU is 9-3. It's not because of anything else other than him, and they have a really good wide receiver. But he was carrying the team. He was winning them games almost single-handedly. And voters finally realized that towards the end of the season. That's a rarity to happen in college football, because normally it's the best quarterback on the best team is going to win. So I think it could be a similar thing. Like Heisman's a little bit different. It's a different voting pool than NFL is. But I think if people can start to realize, if people watch what Josh has done and they start to see that he's the best player on the field almost every game he's in, and he's a big reason why the Bills are even 9-6 at this point. I think if voters and those who have a ballot see that, I feel like that'll, because the thing is, if the Bills don't have 12 men on the field, if the defense is able to stop Mac Jones,
yeah,
and they have two less losses, and they're 11-4 right now, or not 11-4, that would be 10-4 right now, or even 11-3. Mm. He's the runaway.
With a few other deep winning drives, right? Mm-hmm.
So, if Jake Elliott doesn't make the field goal against Philly,
yeah,
like, there's no doubt he's the runaway MVP. There's no, like, nobody's even questioning whether or not he's going to win MVP. He would be the almost unanimous MVP at this point.
Yeah, I have the numbers now here. Josh has 27 passing touchdowns, 13 rushing touchdowns, total of 40. And Lamar has 19 passing and 5 rushing touchdowns, a total of 24. Josh is also the top-rated PFF quarterback. He has the best EPA against top 10 defenses. So there's, just like you said, Caleb, you put it perfectly, because Lamar is a difference maker. And I'm not out there saying he doesn't impact or he doesn't change the way people need to defend the Baltimore Ravens offense, because I would be lying. That's a guy he's a difference maker. There is a reason I wanted him as the Bills quarterback in that draft, you know? I felt like that's a guy who I only saw Mike Vick change the way, the dynamic of the quarterback position in the same way of needing to take care and how to prepare to defend a quarterback. I think since Vick, Lamar is, we had a lot of guys who were supposed to be the new Mike Vick or to impact the game in the same way, but Lamar, I believe, is the first one who really was able to do so. But when we watch the Ravens, we also watch a dominant defense, right? We watch a lot, a team that I really have for a lot of weeks now as the favorite in the AFC. I really believe those guys are the most complete team right now, okay? And when we watch the Bills, just like you said, we saw a total mess with 12 men on the field, or the defense playing scared late in the games, or not being able to get out of the field. All that mess, and Josh being able to elevate people around him and to do it himself and to keep the Bills in games and to put the Bills ahead late in the games. And so I really feel like, again, the numbers don't lie, and the production is out there. Another year where he's being able to put up MVP level numbers, production, right? The record with games throwing and running for touchdowns, right? And it's still running. He still can improve it, right? So I really believe he deserves this award. He's been deserving for quite some time now. I hope he can get it. But just like you said, I think it will be all about the last few games and how the quarterbacks play and how the final records look on the standings, right? I think it will count a lot. And the recent bias will be important also for the voters to vote this award. Kayla, I really appreciate you taking your time to join the Leading the Charge today. I hope you really enjoyed it as much as I did. I believe the Bills Mafia really enjoyed your participation here, and the doors are wide open. Anytime you want to join, you're welcome. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Bills Mafia, thank you so much. Hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel. I'll be back with the post-game show on Sunday in Portuguese to Latin America, Brazil, and Portuguese-speaking countries. And that's it, Bills Mafia. See you around. Go Bills.
Go Bills.